listeners, you are listening to another episode of That's Entertainment. I am your pop culture maven, Jeff Malone, and with me as always, live from Hampton, Maine, is my Aunt Beth Woods. Aunt Beth, how are you doing on this this March 2020 day?
I'm good. We had a little snowstorm last night, so...
I heard about that. We just got a bunch of rain.
You guys got the rain. We got the snow after most of our snow had melted, and now we have snow again, but it's going to warm up and be gone, so... I wasn't ready for that.
I think we got some freezing rain to start out with. We might have had some snow mixed in, but it was mostly rain. Mm-hmm. This was 2 days after it reached 70.
Oh, geez.
Start spring off.
That's crazy.
Yeah, but the rest of the March, it's looking like high 40s into the 50s most days.
Yeah, it's been a pretty... I can't complain. We've had a mild winter, so I don't like the snow late in the winter. Yeah, I hope we don't get it into April, because that's when I really don't like it.
Well, I'm ready for spring weather, because it's nice to have...
Oops. Did I lose you?
No, my... My microphone just popped out there for a moment, but I was... I was saying I'm ready for spring weather, because it's nice to have something that makes me perk up.
Yes, I know. Especially since when you can't go anywhere, it's nice if you can be at least be outside.
Right, this is, in case any of you are listening to this episode well into the future... For context, this is our first full episode recorded in the social distancing era.
Yes. Hopefully our first and only, but maybe not. We could be having some more. Yeah.
It would be lovely if all restrictions are lifted within just a few weeks, but I would expect... It seems like a couple months is the most optimistic before we start going back to normal. So Aunt Beth and I are not recording in the same room, but that's normal for us. So
yes, we're very distant.
Right? Yes. You're not here to talk about. Hear us talk about the frightening state of the world. You're here to hear us talk about some pop culture. And because on That's Entertainment, we pick a new pop culture topic each episode and discuss it according to the three F's: first, favorite, and forever. And before I mention today's topic, Aunt Beth, did you listen to the mini episode I posted this past Sunday?
The karaoke one?
Right after that, I did the atypical one.
Oh, I didn't listen to that one. I'll have to listen to that one.
Do you want me to spoil my reaction, or do you want to find out when you listen?
You could tell me quickly, but I will still listen. So how far have you gotten on it?
Two episodes in, but I'm planning on watching more.
Okay. Are you enjoying it so far?
I am, yes.
Oh, good. Okay. I'm glad. And I appreciate that you're willing to listen to stuff that I am, because some people don't want to do that. Just listen to something that somebody else tells them. But I love the kid the cast in it. Mm-hmm. I think the kid is really good that plays him. I love his sister and I love her boyfriend. So I will listen to it for sure, but I'm glad you're liking it. So, and I did enjoy your, the karaoke one too. So good. Okay.
I think I'll need to find someone else to send me some karaoke suggestions for the next one soon.
Ask, You should ask Katie
Okay.
for the next one. She'd probably have some good thoughts on that.
She probably will, yeah.
Yeah.
Okay, so that's the business about mini episodes then. So on to this episode's topic. We're going to get a little more specific than we normally do, because this time we are focusing on a comedian, one particular comedian in particular, a fellow by the name of Gary Gulman. And he had a recent stand-up special entitled The Great Depression. So that inspired us to put together this episode here. And here's a little information to get us started.
The only antidepressants we had access to was Snap Out of It. And What Have You Got to Be Depressed About? That was the second leading brand of antidepressant.
In 2017, comedian Gary Gulman, suffered through one of his worst bouts of clinical depression ever. He used that experience to fuel his 2019 stand-up special, The Great Depression. We're here today to talk about that, as well as Gary's comedy in general, and other comedic treatments of mental illness. Okay. So we're going to go right into the first section, which is, of course, entitled First, where we discuss our initial encounters with our topic. So I'm going to go first this time, because I think my first encounter will be a little less in depth than yours, Aunt Beth, okay. Because I know you're a longer time fan than I am.
Yeah.
But while you had been recommending Gary to me and others, I know you've been mentioning him too, I have been familiar with him for several years now, but I had to be reminded of that fact. I believe the first time I ever saw him do any of his comedy was back in 2014 when he appeared on Conan.
Oh,
okay. And I'm a regular viewer of that. That is my late night talk show of choice. And he's appeared a few more times since then. He also appeared in 2015 and 2016. The 2016 appearance was when he did his much beloved bit about state postal abbreviations.
One of my favorites.
Mm-hmm.
What's next? He said Alaska. Everybody cool with AL? But somebody caught it. One man sheepishly raised his hand and said, "Sir, I think we might have used that one before." "Are you sure?" "I'm pretty sure." "Well, let's check the minutes."
It was probably a few months ago when I remember you first mentioning him to me, and I think he had appeared again on Conan for another yet another appearance. So the name, I was familiar with his name, but you definitely had a more thorough knowledge of him, I could tell by your enthusiasm. So I'll let you go ahead and get into it.
Okay. Well, speaking of first, I want to say first of all, what I just actually said before about Atypical, I want to thank you, Jeff, for being willing to watch The Great Depression without knowing a lot about Gary Gulman. I said I might not have been that open to listening to a comedian that I had barely heard of, so I appreciate that you were willing to do that. Like, sometimes if somebody says, you might really like this person, or I'm not always as open to doing that, so thank you for doing that.
No
so
problem.
I first saw Gary Gulman on the NBC show Last Comic Standing, which was, and I can't believe it was that long ago, I guess in 2003, my son Wesley and I saw him, and we just thought he was hilarious. And I guess when I looked it up, it said he came in third place. It also said he was on it the following year, but I don't remember that. And one of the bits that stuck out for us, he did just this short thing. He was talking about how he's like, whoever invented the using the symbol for the at, you know, on the computer, he said, boy, mm-hmm. we're no genius. It just saved the whole letter T in using that for that. Wesley and I thought that was so funny. And then I kind of forgot about him until, I don't know, it was last year or 2 years ago, I was watching this show, Howie Mandel Presents, and all these comedians came out and did a little bit, and he was on that. And I said, oh, I forgot how much I liked him. So I started looking up different YouTube clips, and that reminded me how good he was. And then I looked up to see if he was performing. We saw that he was going to be in Boston, and we got tickets to see him this January at the Wilbur Theater. And so I saw him there, and then I just watched the special last week. So those were all my encounters with him. And every time I see him, I just love him more. So I do have one little, tell me when you want to, I have one trivia question about him. So I didn't know if you did any.
I didn't come up with any, but we'll, I guess we usually do that after the favorite sex section. So we'll save it for then.
All right.
Okay. So would you say he's one of your favorite comedians working right now?
Yeah, I would say that. Yeah, I'd probably put, you know, there's a few that I really enjoy listening to. I think about a year or two ago, I saw Jim Gaffigan for the second time, which he had probably been my favorite comedian. And then I have seen, not in person, but Brian Regan and John Mulaney, just on specials. So those are probably my top four comedians right now, counting Gary Goldman.
Okay.
Yeah.
That's a solid lineup, I'd say.
Yeah.
Well, in the spirit of favorite, I guess we'll go ahead and move into our favorite section, the second section of the show, which is entitled Favorite, where we talk about our favorite elements of the topic at hand. So we've got a few things we're going to discuss here. Since we're focusing on the Great Depression, we'll mention some of our favorite jokes from that special. And we're also going to talk about similar comedians to Gary, our favorites, our favorite stand-ups who are similar to Gary, as well as other portrayals of mental illness in comedy, and ones that we like especially. So, Aunt Beth, what were your favorite moments from the Great Depression?
I had a few that I wrote down. I loved so much of it. I don't know if some of the things about the Depression were really funny when he talks about growing up in the 70s and 80s, and he said back then the only cures for depression were snap out of it and what have you got to be depressed about, which I thought were really funny. I like how he compared millennials to growing up in the 70s and that they, what did he say? They write down. Oh, their use of the word literally.
Right.
He said they're the ones that changed the definition to now it actually does mean figuratively.
Right.
This guy, that was pretty funny.
Literally a rich history. Since its inception in 1525, it meant actually or unequivocally. And then around 2008, millennials said, oh no, it also means figuratively.
That was like the only criticism he had about millennials.
Yeah.
His other one was very complimentary.
Yes, because he said he He described himself. He said he had a hard time growing up when he did because he was very soft. And so he said millennials now are much more caring. And back then he was very bullied. And he talked about ordering Sprite, which I thought was hilarious, that soda that he got made fun of for drinking Sprite, which is funny.
Those little details are really sell comedy.
Yeah,
like it's
that people think of. I know that you would just.
It's so specific, but it resonates with so many people.
He said something about, I don't know what this was in the context of. He was talking about the store Michaels. I just wrote this down. And he said he calls Michaels the classy Joann's. Right. That just made me laugh. There was a funny part about the different side effects from the antidepressants, because he said people are like, aren't you worried about the side effects from antidepressants? And he had just a funny bit on that where he's like, he said, I'm not worried about that. He said, I was trying to think of what some of them are. He said, at least they, he's like, diarrhea. He said, he's like, at least that makes me get out of bed and go to the bathroom.
I can get out of bed with diarrhea.
Yeah, just different funny things.
Because you can't get out of bed. The alternative is you kill yourself.
Yeah.
You can't get out of bed with suicide.
Yeah. I mean, he made some really good points. And then he said, when he was in there and some guy recognized him, and just the comment said, are you Gary Gulman or am I crazy? That was funny. Just a lot. I don't know. What I like to hear some of your favorite parts.
Well, I definitely enjoyed all of the material about millennials. In general, it's one of my biggest pet peeves when people generalize about any generation.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, as a millennial myself, it hits me pretty hard. But, you know, millennials are in an age group where whatever age group is currently the young adult age group, I think it's criticized the most by the older age groups.
Mm-hmm.
So it's always gratifying when someone is like, well, actually, I like this group. And so you can use stereotypes in comedy, and it's nice when you pick the more positive stereotypes, because even if it's, you know, the things he mentioned aren't true about every millennial, but that's fine. You know, it's exaggeration is used in comedy, and if you use the happier examples, well, then hopefully that puts everyone in a good mood. So I enjoyed that he said millennials are much better hydrated than his generation was.
That's so funny, because when I was young, you never thought about water back then. So that did crack me up.
I know I drink a lot of water, so that resonated with me, I think. And then the other thing was kind of funny, because so when we were figuring out what topic we were going to discuss for this episode, we were throwing out a few ideas. You had mentioned you'd seen the Way Back, the Ben Affleck basketball movie. Mm-hmm. So I said we could maybe do an episode about basketball in pop culture. This is March Madness. It would be March Madness in a usual March.
Mm-hmm.
But you're like, well, I don't know that much about basketball pop culture. But then in the Great Depression, Gary had a significant amount of material about basketball and other sports. He played basketball in high school, and it sounded like basketball was his favorite sport, especially whenever he was shooting a free throw, because that fit his personality closer than like any other element of sport. Someone does something wrong, everyone has to stop. And that person who did something wrong has to think about what they did.
That's right.
Basketball also fits me because it's the only sport where if somebody so much as slaps you on the wrist, they stop the game. Stop the game, separate everyone, and let you make two easy shots while everyone else is forced to watch quietly. As if to say, think about what you did.
You know, someone who loves basketball, I had never thought of it that way, but because I usually got too much adrenaline rushing through me either when I'm playing or watching the game to think about it in those terms. But I appreciate that element of basketball as well. Mm-hmm. That when you take it too far, you are forced to you kind of go in the corner a bit and think about what you've done.
Stop and think about what did we do? Yeah. Yeah, and then he talked a lot about football too, because he mm-hmm. football. Yeah, it was a lot.
Yeah, I mean, it's just based on his personality, I would never have pegged him as a jock. Mm-hmm. And I mean, even still knowing that he played sports in high school and was even recruited by a Division I school for football,
yeah,
I still wouldn't think of him as a jock. But it's always interesting when you find, when you discover how multi-layered people are like that.
Yeah.
Because
he probably doesn't think of himself as a jock.
No, I mean, he didn't put it in. I don't think he said it that way, but he got that point across.
Yeah.
So, I mean, what did you think of in general about how he incorporated his mental health struggles into the special?
I thought he did a really good job with it. I didn't think he, you know, shoved it down your throat, you know, mm-hmm. like it was subtle, but he also wanted to make sure that you understood it and it was nothing to be ashamed of, but also, you know, just know that it's there and it's something that took him a while to really understand, mm-hmm. and that he knew that I liked what he said about his coach in college was one of the first ones he said that probably really understood it and got him help. And I liked that he incorporated that and didn't just, you know, he acknowledged it. And I mean, he could be a comedian that just kind of glazes over it and doesn't say anything. And I sort of like that he talks about it.
Mm-hmm.
It's not like it's all he talks about, right. You know. I mean, I guess if that was all he talked about, maybe that would turn me off. But he's mm-hmm. so funny. Besides that, I appreciate how he deals with it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, I think it does two things. The two main things that I hope it does when comedians tackle that particular topic, it's both funny and healthy.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's a heavy subject, but it didn't weigh him down.
Yeah.
And I think it also worked as therapy for him.
Yeah, it did. It seemed, he seems like he's getting so much. That's a good way to put it. Therapy for him. He seemed happy, like he was getting so much from it. Because
mm-hmm.
it's just, he seems like he loves what he's doing.
Yeah.
And also seems appreciative from the feedback that he gets from the audience. And mm-hmm. and yeah, I just, I just really like the guy. I just think I'd like to know him in person. He just seems like a really good guy. Mm-hmm. So I just hope he stays healthy for his sake, because it's not a fun disease, you know.
Yeah.
So, yeah. But yeah, no, I like how he incorporated it.
Mm-hmm. So now we're going to talk about some of our other favorite comedians, similar to Gary, and other examples of comedic mental illness.
Okay.
So as we, I've got a couple of comedians who came to mind. So like, I'll let you, Aunt Beth, mention the ones that you have first. But as you do that, like, how would you define his comedy style? What category of comedian would you call him?
Ooh, I don't know. You might have to help me with that. I don't know.
I was thinking he's like a storytelling comedian. I mean, that's what a broad way to put it.
I guess that's what I'd put him. And
he has some other elements in his repertoire, but I think like that's kind of the fundamental word I would use.
Okay. I think I already mentioned the ones before, and I like the fact that he's. I don't think I'm prudish, but I do appreciate comedians that don't have to get up there and curse. And I feel like if you're a good, funny comedian, you don't need to rely on that.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's why I mentioned like Brian Regan and Jim Gaffigan. Mm-hmm. I think they're smart and very witty, and they don't need that. Their humor is just so intelligent that they don't need. And so that's kind of why I put them in the same category. John Mulaney too. Sometimes he's a little, they all once in a while will, although I've never heard, I don't think I've ever heard Jim Gaffigan curse.
Mm-hmm.
Brian Regan's pretty clean too. And so, I just appreciate that. And they just, I don't know if they're all like storytellers. What are some other categories of humor that you think of? See, I never really think of categories.
There's observational, which Jerry Seinfeld is kind of like the Uber example of that. Did you ever notice why this is like this? And then there's character comedy where someone puts on a persona. Mm-hmm. Which Andrew Dice Clay is a notorious example. Okay. He was like, he in his act, he was much more misogynistic than he actually was. And then there's the old school one-liner comedians, mm-hmm. like,
Henning Youngman.
Right, exactly. Of Take My Wife fame.
Yeah, I love those. Yeah, I guess there are a lot of categories. Okay.
Well, you know what? On comedians' Wikipedia pages, they usually give that sort of information. So on Gary's page, it says genres, observational comedy, sarcasm, and satire. And then subjects, it says everyday life, pop culture, childhood, Judaism, and mental illness.
Okay.
So.
I do like that he talked. I was almost worried that people would. I like that he talks about his Jewish upbringing too.
Yeah.
Because he just makes me laugh when he talks about that too.
Yeah, I definitely chuckled when he mentioned Bugs Bunny among all the Jews.
That was funny. And when he said something about there was one Jew that, what was that? He's referring to Jesus. Oh, something that didn't die. I can't remember what the reference was. But I can't remember, but it was,
Let's see if I can track it down.
Yeah. Oh, he's so funny. He does this one. I was trying to find this. There's a funny routine about ice hockey that he does. And when it talks about Jesus too, and it's hilarious. You can maybe after we talk, if you Google or YouTube the ice hockey routine, you might be able to find it.
Let's examine the Hockey Hall of Fame, and we'll count the Jewish players in the Hockey Hall of Fame. You ready? Done. There are zero. Just for a point of comparison, Gary, more Jews have been the Messiah.
What about you with your comedians?
So I kind of focused on, like, so he, mental illness is definitely not the only thing that Gary talks about, and it didn't seem like it was a big part of his act before his really bad bout.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, as important as it is now, there's definitely more to his comedy that had previously defined him. So I was kind of like, who's a comedian that represents that aspect, but then who similarly does handle mental illness head on. And so I was like, you mentioned John Mulaney, and I think that's a good fit in terms of just like the way they structure their mm-hmm. material. They both tell a lot of stories from their childhood, and they both seem like people who were just waiting to be adults. Like they mm-hmm. were adults when they were kids.
Yeah.
And then they finally grew into who they actually mm-hmm. truly are when they were about 35 or 40. I'm not, John Mulaney might not yet be 40. I think he's about 40. He's 37. So he felt like, whenever I see John Mulaney, do his stand up, I feel like, and he talks about stories from when he was a kid, he sounds like a 40 year old teenager.
Okay.
And Martin Gary Short. Sounds Martin, like,
yeah. What's that? Martin Short too.
Uh huh.
He was always like singing Broadway tunes and songs back when he was like 10 years old, and always right. seemed like he wanted to be older. So yeah, that's funny.
And then the other one I pinpointed, do you know about Maria Bamford?
Boy, that name sounds familiar, but I don't know if
she had her own sitcom on Netflix called Lady Dynamite, ran for a couple of seasons.
Yeah, I remember hearing about it, but I don't think I watched it.
She really talks about her mental issues. She's suffered from anxiety and depression, and that's kind of like you can tell by her stage presence. Like she's kind of jittery the whole time, mm-hmm. and it's a little more, it's almost avant-garde in the way that she approaches it. Like it's if Gary can kind of be a stepping stone into someone like her, like if you enjoyed Gary's depression material and you're like, you know what? I might enjoy something even darker and weirder than that. Maria Bamford could be would be someone I'd recommend to you in that case.
Okay.
And then did you have any other like any shows or TV shows or any other like comedic elements, examples of,
I couldn't think of any other shows, but the only other person I wrote down was Woody Allen, I think, uh-huh. back in the 70s, mid to late 70s. He was kind of known for his dark humor and being kind of like just depressed a lot.
Yeah.
And Play It Again, Sam, he talks about depression and... you know, I didn't look that up, but I just sort of a remembrance of his style, kind of. Mm-hmm. So that just kind of came to mind. I couldn't really think of any shows. I know you mentioned a couple that you watched, but I couldn't think of anything. And I know I mentioned to you, my brother, your uncle said, when I said that to him, my brother said, well, I thought all comedians were depressed. And I thought that was a good quote, because I think probably a lot of them are.
Yeah.
But I couldn't think of specific shows, so I know you have a few that you were going to talk about.
Yeah, well, I don't – yeah, so I – a few of my favorite shows of the last 5 years or so would be BoJack Horseman and Rick and Morty, which if you look at them superficially, they're a couple of goofy cartoons, but they – once you watch them for a few episodes, it becomes pretty clear that their main characters are probably suffering from clinical depression. I don't think they're ever officially diagnosed, but I mean, so the point I wanted to make by bringing those up is that I think in general, in pop culture in the past few years, the stigma of mental illness has really been lifted a lot. At least in the circles that I run in, it doesn't seem like people are too hesitant to be open about it the way I feel like was the case when I was growing up and before that as well.
I hope so, because it shouldn't be, you know, they try to get the point across that it's a illness and it should be treated as that. You need medication and it shouldn't be looked down upon. So hopefully it's starting to, you know, people are talking about it and so that's why it's a good thing that Gary talked about it in this. Hopefully that's what helps get the stigma from it. So.
Okay. Did we cover all of our favorites?
Yeah, I think so.
All right. So you have some trivia then?
Oh, it's just a quick. It was stuff that I was reading. It just talked about the job before Gary went into comedy. When he graduated from college, he had another job. I don't know if you came across that or not when you were reading. Nothing anyone would know unless you read about it. So,
I don't know. I'll say, does it have anything to do with his athletic body?
No. Think of your dad, though.
Was he an actuary?
No. N is good that you said an instead of a.
An accountant?
Yes.
Okay. Actually, I feel like you might have mentioned that in something that I watched. Maybe. It sounds slightly familiar.
Yeah. I mean, no, but I just thought, oh, it's not going to be much trivia about him. But I saw that. I was like, oh, okay, I'll write that down.
Let that be a lesson to everyone out there. If you're if you're a depressed accountant, you can get help you need to feel better, and you can become a comedian.
And go into comedy, yeah. Okay.
All right, so now we're in the forever section, in which we talk about what we're currently liking about our topic and look ahead to the future. So I think we've kind of already discussed what Gary is currently up to and the state of mental illness and comedy. So, well, the question now is, what do we want to see from him in the future? More of the same? Branch out and here and there? Conquer the world?
I'd love to
become president?
I'd love to see him continue to do specials and tour. And especially to stay healthy and hopefully have more people discover him and appreciate his brand of humor. Although I was pleasantly surprised. I was thinking naively that many people didn't know about him. And then when I went to see him, I think I told you, when I went to see him in Boston, it was packed. And I don't know if that's because he's from that area or if he is that popular.
What venue was it at?
The Wilbur Theater.
Okay.
And he grew up in Peabody, Mass, which is right near. So, you know, it was just completely packed, and everybody was like, you know, loved him there. So, and then I also said he could do some more movie roles. Did you know that he was in The Joker? That's another trivia.
Well, I saw Joker. Who did he play?
Well, Google, he played himself, and I Googled. Oh. Somehow I don't know where I read that. So then I Googled it again yesterday, and it says, it's right at the beginning. It says that he's at a comedy club, and it says, and if you'll see none other than Gary Goldman performing. So you'll have to look and I didn't see the spot part, but I'm going to look for it. So, so maybe he'll do some more movie roles. That would be kind of fun to see.
Yeah.
I mean, you wouldn't have, you know, unless you knew you were looking for him, you wouldn't have known, but
so yeah,
I'm sure
I knew when I saw it, I'm sure I was like, oh, that's a face I know.
Yeah. But, so funny. So you could go back and look. I think they said it was like right near the beginning.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, I just hope he, you know, continues to do well. And it's hard to be a stand-up comic.
Yeah. Would you like to meet him in person?
I'd love to meet him in person.
Well, and maybe we can.
His wife, Sade.
Yeah, she is quite cute.
I have to say.
We saw some of her in The Great Depression.
Yeah.
She's not. Not the Sade, not but his Sade.
She seems very supportive of him, so I'm glad he has a good partner to help him through this.
Mm-hmm.
So how about you? What do you want to see from...
Well, I have one specific hope. I'd like him to... He's already been a guest on Conan's TV show a few times. I would like him to guest on Conan's podcast, Conan O'Brien Needs a Friend.
Oh,
where I think that could very well happen, because Conan has lots. His guests on that show are. Do you know? Have you listened to that? His podcast or heard the premise of it? So the idea is, Conan wants to be friends with all the celebrities that are guests on his show, but the interviews are too short for them to become friends.
Okay.
So he figures with a podcast where the interviews are longer, they actually can become friends and spend more time together.
Yeah.
It's a great podcast for discovering in-depth stories about people in Conan's orbit. And I think Gary would be a fine candidate for revealing himself in that way.
We need to like write to him and suggest that. How could you tell him that?
if he's on Twitter, we could tweet at him.
Yeah. Huh. Well, and we need him to be on like Ellen maybe, or nobody's doing shows now, so we gotta wait a little while, but where he's gonna get more exposure on been on any like I feel like I've seen the clips besides Conan. Was he on like Jimmy Kimmel or any of those or no?
I think I saw some YouTube in my suggested YouTube videos. I think I saw that he was on Stephen Colbert.
Okay. Yeah. I thought he was on one of the regular ones. Okay.
Yeah, well, some of the late night shows are coming back like in the next week. I know Conan's coming back with new shows that he's filming from his house.
Oh, okay.
And he's doing interviews remotely via smartphone.
Oh, okay. So they are going to try to do that.
Yeah.
Huh?
We'll see how that works out.
Yeah. Okay. Well,
I guess that's... that is your primer on Gary Goldman.
So listeners, go out, go watch The Great Depression. And
yes, it's on streaming on HBO Go and HBO Now currently. Yeah.
And look on YouTube for different clips of Gary Goldman, because he is very clever, very funny. It's worth it for sure.
Yes.
Especially now, you're home, you need a laugh.
Yes. If to anyone feeling anxious, seek out whatever makes you laugh right now.
Yeah.
It's very important for your mental health.
That's right.
So besides what Gary's up to, do you have anything to promote, Aunt Beth?
No, there's nothing going on. No.
Well, I will mention that I'm still attempting to write some new articles on my blog, jmoney.com, even though there's not really any movie reviews SNL reviews to write currently. But so I'm decided to jump into my best of the decades list.
Oh, good. Okay. So,
I just posted my best podcasts of the 2010s, and TV shows will be next. And I may have mentioned to you before, Aunt Beth, but I would like us to do a couple shows about like a best TV shows of the decade episode, and then maybe a best movies of the decade.
Oh, okay.
So get to working on maybe putting like a couple of top 10 lists together.
Ooh, all right.
The theme of our next, that'll be sometime in the future, but I believe in the, our next full episode, the plan is to do Modern Family.
Oh, that's right.
Yeah, because
the series ending.
Yeah, the series finale is.
When is
April?
Is
it April 8th, I think.
Yeah, I think it is the 8th.
Yeah, so we'll have our episode on that soon after.
So the week of the 13th. Okay. Yeah, forgot about that. Okay.
Yeah, so that's, listeners, that's what you have to look forward to from us. Remember to follow us on Twitter, Instagram, and Facebook. And if you leave us a review on Apple Podcasts or whatever podcast listening application of choice, we will read it on air. And Aunt Beth, do you have a sign-off?
Just say, what is good night?
And as always, keep your remotes handy and your eyes open.